What are your thoughts about depopulation?
Well, depopulation is not a theory, it's a documented fact. When you see the documents of the various organizations related to what is called Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 in its updated version, they are consistent in their desire to bring down the global population to a fraction of what it is now. I mean, it's well over 7 billion, I think, now. They're talking anything between half a billion to a billion. And when you think what that entails in terms of the population falling that dramatically, then obviously you're dealing with an extreme that beggars the imagination. And it's not just in documents where they're calling for this so-called optimum population. The quotes of insiders of various kinds, including members of the Rockefeller family, have said the same, that the plan is for the population to be dramatically reduced. And see, what we're looking at is a tapestry of things, and a tapestry of events and programs and happenings which are presented in isolation as if they're all, if you like, their own strand, isolated from the rest, when in fact they're all connected to this one agenda. You know, people say, oh, you see conspiracies everywhere. I do not. I see one conspiracy with multiple faces and multiple expressions. So we are speaking now after the climate change event farce in Paris in November 2015. And that is seen in isolation as dealing with human-caused climate change, which isn't happening, which should send alarm bells off to everyone. So you've got that, and you've got the belief, because of constant, endless repetition in all levels of society, that global warming caused by human activity is true. You've got the vast majority believing that global warming is real. And when you challenge that, the question that comes back is, well, they're all lying then. Well, no, at the core, they're lying. But the vast majority of scientists and politicians and activists have believed it because a recent estimate of annual cost of the climate hoax industry is $1.5 trillion, which means that anyone who is willing to press forward with the promotion of the global warming hoax is going to be swimming in money, not least scientists. If you're a scientist that says it's happening, then you've got a very good chance of having a very, very healthy budget. If you're a scientist saying it's not happening, then you've got a very good chance of being marginalized, have your funding cut, and be condemned, ridiculed, and silenced in various ways. So then you've got the vast majority who have believed in it because that's all they've ever heard. The curriculum in the education system is all confirming to people from the earliest age that it's happening. The BBC and other media organizations won't touch anyone who challenges the norm and challenges the hoax, even if they are a decorated scientist. So then you've got politicians who, in my experience, are some of the most I'm talking about the rank and file, and even many in government, some of the most uninformed people on planet Earth. And you put all that together, and it's extraordinary how a blatant, unsupportable lie in which they have to fix the data to get the outcome that they want. Because if they told the truth, it wouldn't stand up.
Right.
It's amazing to see how a lie so blatant can be believed by so many with financial encouragement for scientists. Hold on a second. I'll just take this off. So then the question comes, why would the authorities, the system, the hidden hand, as I call it, go to such trouble and spend such money on conning people into believing in human-caused global warming when it's not happening? And the answer to this is all connected into depopulation and many other aspects. It's very, very important that people lose this childlike belief in the United Nations. We've just had a so-called debate in the British Parliament about whether the British military should bomb in Syria. And again, you heard politicians talking about the United Nations has said this, we must support the United Nations. The United Nations, people need to get the background to it. The plan for the takeover of human society on a much, much greater and more profound level than now involves the centralization of power on a global level to have a world government, world central bank, world army, world currency, cashless. My goodness me, is that not happening now? Not least in Sweden, but I understand. And so to get to that, you need to constantly centralize power. And that's what we've been seeing more and more and more. The G20, G8, whatever number they come up with this year, is a de facto world government, along with things like the UN Security Council. And we're moving along that road. Now, a crucial step on that road is the United Nations, because it's a stalking horse and a stepping stone, whatever analogy people like to use, to that world government. And the more you centralize power in the United Nations and through the United Nations, the more you're moving that point forward to the fully fledged world government. So what's happened is the world has been sold the idea that the United Nations is about bringing countries together, putting an end to war, and being a force for good, for peace, for harmony, and all those things. As usual with life on planet Earth, the inversion of that is the truth. And what people do is they don't research. What they do is they get their images of things and situations from the mainstream media, from mainstream education. They don't do any research. If they did, they would find that the United Nations is a 100% owned entity. of the hidden hand cabal, not least families like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. The first effort to introduce a stalking horse for world government was the League of Nations. This has been acknowledged, indeed, by the United Nations, that fundamental to the creation of the League of Nations was the Rockefeller family. Mm. And when that didn't quite hold, the Rockefellers and their cabal moved on to create the United Nations. And the building on the land on which the United States Nations headquarters stands was given free of charge by the Rockefeller family. The Council on Foreign Relations in America is part of a network including the Bilderberg Group and others, the Trilateral Commission. And the Council on Foreign Relations, which has driven much of US foreign policy since its creation in 1921, was the creation of the Rockefeller family. It was funded into existence by the Rockefeller family. It was its expenses ongoing were covered by the Rockefeller family, and the building, again, the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations was provided by the Rockefeller family. Why this is related to the United Nations is that the United States delegation at the creation of the United Nations in 1945 was described by people involved as a roll call of the Council on Foreign Relations. 74 members of that US delegation that created the United Nations were Council on Foreign Relations members, which is a Rockefeller organization. And wherever you look with the United Nations, you're looking at the Rockefellers and associated families. Now, you don't have to know much about the world and the Rockefeller family to realize that they have absolutely no interest in peace, harmony, justice, fairness, and an end to war. They just don't. Mm. No. And so what you're looking at with the United Nations is not an entity that stands for what its promotion material claims it is. It's a vehicle to create and impose the agenda of these families, which is world government, mm-hmm. world central bank, world army, etc., etc. And it's also the total subjugation of the human race in what I call the Hunger Games society, in which a 1% or less of the population dictates to everyone else that's in what we would call poverty and deprivation. And that situation is planned to be held in place by a strata between the 1% and the population of a vicious, merciless, psychopathic police state. Now, when you look at that structure, you can see the 1%. I mean, the last figures I saw, 1% of the global population is closing in on owning 50% of the wealth of the world. You're seeing the austerity programs that are creating more and more of this poverty-stricken underclass, pulling in more and more people who, until very recently, would call themselves middle class and doing quite well. And my goodness, are you seeing the rapid introduction of the police state? That society I've been talking about for a long, long time that was planned to come in is unfolded before our eyes. Now, let's pull all this together. The Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 programs are running through the United Nations. They're United Nations programs. In other words, they are Rockefeller cabal programs. And those programs, and in September 2015, the global meeting of countries agreed to 17 goals in what they call Agenda 2030, which is basically the year they want this to be in place, that if implemented would centralize power on a global level in every area of our lives. You look at Agenda 21, which was an earlier version of it, which began at the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, when this whole environmental hoax was really introduced. And Agenda 21, again through the United Nations, if its goals are implemented, to be so, there would have to be a centralized tyranny to make those things happen. And there would have to be the power to impose upon human individuality, freedom and choice on a scale that only happens in fascist and communist regimes. Now, here we bring it all together. The justification of introducing Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, which include a dramatic reduction in the population, is a belief that human-caused global warming and climate change is true and is happening. Without that, there can be no justification for Agenda 21, 2030. So the reason that the claims and the data and the predictions of the global warming cult, because that's what it is, have not happened and are not happening is because they are not true. They are being claimed to justify an agenda that they need the belief in global warming to introduce. And so we are looking on one level at what appears to be an environmental issue, but actually that's just a cover for a political fascist communist agenda issue. And there are maps you can find on the internet from organizations. There's so many organizations around this Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. There's the Wildlands Project, and there's this thing about sustainability. And what we have to do is watch the language. The language is very important, and if people come from this perspective with everything, they won't be wrong most of the time. And that is, whatever is apparently said is an inversion of what's actually happening. So they talk about sustainability. And who would not, because this is the thing, when you want to bring about a change, that if you told the truth about the change you want to bring about, that you know there would be a resistance against it, then you don't present it like that. You present it in another way. You present it in the opposite way. So you talk about sustainability, and who could argue with society that is based on things that are sustainable, that you don't take more than can be replaced? But that's not what it's about. You've got on the same team those that talk about sustainability and those that want to introduce global genetically modified food, the growing of which is destroying the soil, destroying the ability of the planet to sustain life, and thus is the inversion of sustainability. And it's very important that people constantly check the inversion and see what's really being said as opposed to what appears to be said. Because in if you look at the points of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, they don't say we're going to centralize power in every area of your life. They don't mention that what's already happening in American states, some American states like Oregon, in that the state, the authority, is claiming ownership of all water, including puddles after a rainstorm, if they're on your land. And so when you see Agenda 2030 and you see things like sustainable use of oceans, sustainable use of water, sustainable use of this, that, or the other, to bring about what they call sustainable use, it means complete control by the authorities of that resource or that source or that happening. But they don't say that. They just tell you what they want the outcome to be. But if you've got an ounce of brain cell activity, you just ask yourself, what would need to happen for that desired point in the list to happen? And on all of them, it is global centralization of everything. And when you look at this map of America that they want to bring about, and you can see it on the internet, if you put in Wildlands Project, Agenda 21, Map of America, or something close to that, you see the amount of America that is designated in that map for human occupation. It's stunning in its scale in terms of how little of America, and this is a global project, would be occupied by human beings. The great tracts of America would not be accessed or accessible by humans, but would be owned by that which controls America and anywhere else. And you again can see the language in these Agenda 21, 2030 bullet points that confirm what some of us have been pointing out for a long time, that the plan is to get people off the land and into intensely occupied what they call human settlement zones, where the accommodation would be tiny, I mean just breathtakingly small, and they're already building them. And of course within that density you have the potential for 24/7 surveillance down into the fine detail of people's lives. And when you see that map, the idea that it could happen without a dramatic reduction of the population is ridiculous. So wherever you look, you pick up this recurring theme that the plan is for a dramatic reduction in the population. And we ignore that at our peril, really, because, you know, you can look something in the eye and face it and deal with it, or you can kid yourself it's not happening until you can't kid yourself any longer. And at that point, there's nothing you can do. So it's this is a time for people to face the unthinkable and face what they would have thought to be insane and extreme and paranoia. If only that were true. It's not. What's happening is beyond what most people can imagine. And we've reached the point now where more and more people because of life experience and because of what's happening in the world, they're starting to lessen their resistance to the fact that the unthinkable may actually be true.